Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, March 17th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 84, beginning at the eighth line from the top of the page. We will intuitively know how to handle, through two sentences ending, what we could not do for ourselves, and we'll be commenting on these two sentences today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Joanne L., readers of the text, Anne S.C.H., Luann C., and Yvonne A. The reference number for Sunday, March 16th, is 22,255. That's 22255. And for this morning, Monday, March 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 22,258. That's 22258. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Larry G., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone who's providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Dawn. Thanks for your service, and thank you for everybody on the line. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Leaders of a trusted servant, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 84, beginning at the 8th line from the top of the page. We will intuitively know how to handle through 2 sentences ending what we could not do for ourselves, and we'll be commenting on those 2 sentences only today. I'll now ask Anne SCH to read and then share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Anne SCH. I'm calling in from British Columbia, Canada. I'm a compulsive overeater. The text on page 84, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. So this is a very powerful promise for me. I mean, they're all powerful promises, but this particular one, when I first came in through a different fellowship around food about 10 years ago, in the literature there was a list of all the promises in the Big Book. I didn't know the source of where those promises came from. I just accepted that these were promises. If I followed what the program suggested, that I would realize these. And this particular one was like, oh my gosh, this is one where I'm going to pray through it right now and ask God for this to come to me as I work work out my food-related behaviors and issues and overeating with God, because that was the only person I knew that would be able to help me get abstinent, stay abstinent, and help me through to recovery. So in learning from this particular being a vision, on vision for you, I've learned that if I take a passage and personalize it, it really is helpful in terms of my taking it into a deeper level, into my heart. So I will intuitively know how to handle situations that baffle me. I will suddenly realize that God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And two words jump out. The first one is baffle, because it's not a common usage now. And essentially, it means frustrate. But when I went to the dictionary, it's to reduce to perplexity. In other words, it's frustration that it like a it's almost like I don't know where to turn. It's bewildering. It's disappointment. There's a frustration there. But also to the other word that really leaps out in these two lines is intuition or intuitive, but the root word intuition. And again, the dictionary, immediate apprehension by the mind without reasoning, by sense, immediate insight. This past week, I had an incident with my dog, my neighbor dog, and they got into an accidental tussle where bites were administered to my dog. And it was a trauma for my dog, but for myself. But somehow, I don't know, that this was a manifestation and realization of this exact patient, this exact passage, where God just took over and helped me through not taking it. It was like it was the fulfillment of this promise, in that I knew intuitively where God was, that He had got myself and by extension my pet, my 10-pound little guy, and that there was no. He just sort of took over my mind. I'm out of time, and I really appreciate, thank you everyone for listening and being of service on this line. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, NSCH, for getting us started. And I'll now go ahead and take the names of people who would like to share on these two sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ.
Susan G, California.
Susan G.
Sherry HM, Washington.
Sherry HM.
Bruce E in Florida.
Bruce E.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Jackie G, Georgia.
Was that Jackie G?
Jackie D as in delightful.
Okay. Jackie D in Florida.
Georgia,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, that's a fantastic lineup. I have Karen KZ, Susan G, Sherry HM, Bruce E, Deborah G, and Jackie D. Karen KZ, please go ahead and start us off, if you would.
Good morning, Dawn and everybody. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, and these are two of my very favorite sentences because that's what's changed my life. And I like what somebody said. I intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle me. I suddenly realize that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. And that is working, and all the hard work and everything that's required in this program is worth it just for those two sentences. I have just learned, and it ties in for me with step 6 and 7, because we have all these defects, right, and all this stuff to look at, and all this terrible stuff that I did or I am or whatever. And I became entirely ready to have, not me, to have God remove those defects, and I humbly ask God to. And every day I invite God to take me over, to think God's thoughts, God's words, and God's actions through me, because that is why my life is so wonderful. It's not something, I mean, intuitively, I have to do the work, right? That's a fact. But most of all, I have to invite God to take over. And I had an experience yesterday. I tripped on my cell phone. I was the charging cord. I know it's been dangerous. I have it between two things. And I tripped and went face down. And I have these big, you know, my mouth of my nose was bloody. I already have a torn rotator cuff. And I was worried about that. And immediately I cried out to God. And I said, God, help me. And God told me to go get some ice packs and put it on my face and put it on my shoulder. And I just knew that God was taking over and doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. I of myself would not have figured that out. I'd just been lost in, oh my gosh, now I hurt my shoulder some more. Oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to do? And my glasses were all bent up. And I got such peace because this is true. I didn't really actually know. God led me to put the ice on it. And God led me to let go and to trust that he was taking care of me. And I realized if I injured my shoulder, I did. My glasses were bent, you know, and I just gave thanks for the fact that I didn't break a hip, that I could get up and go about my business. So this whole program, and the greatest gift of all, is what God is doing for me. I don't have to fix me. I just have to follow these instructions and God takes over and I have a wonderful life. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Susan G., it's your turn to share, followed by Sherry H.M.
Thank you so much, and good morning, everybody. Happy Monday, and thank you to Team Monday in March. Gosh, this has been, should I share today? Should I wait for this sentence? Should I wait for that one? And today's the end, so today was the day to share. And what I want to share is how this intuition has changed and really become so much more God-centered as the years have gone on. Because when I first did this, which, you know, is almost 26 years ago, I was like, okay, so now I know everything because it's intuitive. I know it. I pray. I meditate. And I still would get myself into pickles. And mainly with opening my mouth when nobody needed to hear what I had to say, and especially with my family. And today, I can stand down, not even sit on my hands, bite my tongue, but I just intuitively know, not my business, they are my family, but they don't do it the way I do it. And this one's having a niggle with this one, and this one's having a bat with this one, and that's okay. I don't have to try and fix any of them, and that is God. That's God. So if you're wondering, you know, I still get myself into a little pickle, which I do get myself into sometimes, because again, spiritual progress, not perfection. It does get better. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And that repetition changes, just changes everything. So grateful for all of your shares. Thank you to Anne for getting us started. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Dawn.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan G. from California. Sherry H.M., it's your turn to share, followed by G.
Good morning, this is Sherry H.M. from Washington State. It's Sherry with a C. My absolute favorite part of this book is we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And, you know, when I came into program, I was just such a food addict and obviously still am. Now I'm recovered, thanks to God. Anyway, and gosh, I could not stop eating, especially sugar. Wow, I thought, how could I be, you know, successful in other places in my life? But I thought, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? How come I cannot stop? And, you know, I learned about, from this program, the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind. And if I take the first bite, then that is opening the floodgates. And so I started with a sponsor, you know, working the steps. And I'm just so, so grateful because it's been over 10 and a half years now of, you know, none of my, not you know, being abstinent. And I really don't think about sugar. It really, I'm neutral. And so that's an absolute miracle. My mother-in-law used to say, you know, I had like a radar for chocolate or something. And gosh, so this program does work if we work the steps. And God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And it is absolutely so wonderful. And with that, I pass. So have hope for the newer members. And, you know, God's got this. And I pass.
Sorry about that. Wonderful, Sherry H.M. Thank you so much for your share. Bruce E., it's your turn to share, followed by Deborah G.
Well, good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everybody out there. And thanks for having this forum available. I really appreciate it. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered in Sanibel, Florida. And, you know, excuse me. If I live my life being baffled by everything that happened, I mean, especially things that scared me, like economic insecurity and people and all of that kind of stuff. If I live my life that way, and then I get into this program and I start turning my will and my life over to a higher power, my higher power, I mean, things have got to change. You know, it has to change. I can't keep living like that with having everything baffle me. It is driving me nuts, you know, and living in fear all the time. So intuitively, that's almost like it comes, once I live a spiritual program, once I live a spiritual experience, have a spiritual experience, and live in a spiritual way, it has to come intuitively. That's the normal, natural way for it to go. To be intuitively know how to handle things which used to baffle. You know, everything used to baffle me. Now there isn't too much that baffles me, you know. I mean, because things are happening intuitively, you know. It just sort of happens. It's a lot smoother now, you know. That's for sure. When those big things come up, I ask for help, you know, and I try to surrender and sit back and ask for God. I try to keep my mouth shut for one thing, you know, around my wife and stuff. You know, she says something, I keep my mouth shut. You know, I just don't say anything. And that happens. That baffles me because I used to just have to argue about everything. We suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could. There again, it's the same thing that if I'm living a spiritual life, if I'm turning my will and my life over to God, then God does things that God does it for me, and I don't have to do it myself. I don't have to do all this work and all this exhaustive type stuff. God does for me what I couldn't do for myself. I could not do this food thing myself. I mean, I couldn't just, you know, be abstinent, you know. It had to be that God would come, not come and give me the power, but come with his power and take it away. And he takes it away. He does the work. You know, I just got to be his victim, or I mean his student. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Deborah G., it's your turn to share, followed by Jackie D. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about page 84. Beginning at the eighth line down from the top of the page, we will intuitively know how to handle, through two sentences ending, what we could not do for ourselves. So Deborah G. and then Jackie D. Then I'll take some more names.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you, Dawn, so much for your service today and everyone that's making this meeting possible, all your beautiful shares, and welcome to all the newcomers. So glad you're on the line today with us. And wow, you know, it was just like, it was so beautiful to hear the power of God, you know, and that just keeps me reminded of that power in my life, you know. And, you know, when I do the practice of, you know, really, and I don't always do this, by the way, you know, I make mistakes and I get into will and all this stuff happens. But, you know, at least I make the effort to do the spiritual practices of, you know, the 10 steps and my prayers in the morning and throughout the day and at night, and staying as connected to God as I can. And, you know, what I'm finding is that when I, you know, ask how God would, how would you have me be, or asking myself those questions, going through those questions in the AM prayer and doing when we retire at night, and when I have disturbances, doing 10 steps, you know, doing all the things that I need to do to stay connected, is I start to see God working me. You know, it sometimes it takes me back and surprises me because I respond differently to something that I never did before. You know, saying, thinking differently, saying differently, the behaviors, my behaviors have changed. It's just, it feels good. My sponsor reminds me to do the things that feel good, because when I feel good, I don't want to go to the food or another addiction or whatever. You know, I just am connected and feeling in that divine flow. And I love my life. And I love, you know, what's going on with my life. And being part of that, it's just lovely. I just can't even say the words of, you know, living a life beyond my wildest dreams today. And that's because of these beautiful 12 steps. And, you know, prior, you know, to doing that step work up to step 9, then I start to feel the experience of those steps that I've already done. So I'm grateful to be here. Thank you all, and have a beautiful, blessed day. Love, love, love.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Jackie D., it's your turn to share.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jackie D., as in delightful. I'm calling from Georgia. Thank you all so much for being here for me this morning, and thank you for being here for me every morning. I enjoy this meeting so much, and I enjoy all the shares that I've heard so far. The promises are real. The promises are attainable if we work the steps, if we read the big book, if we basically just rely on our higher power. So anyway, back to the, sorry, I got distracted for a minute there. Back to the today's reading. Intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. And I am learning every single day, thanks to this program, how to pause, pray, process, and then proceed, because I am a hothead, and I've been a hothead for pretty much all my life, but I'm learning that being a hothead is not the best thing for me, and it's not the best thing for my disease. And so I rely on my higher power to give me those words that I need to say, those thoughts that I need to have, and those actions that I need to take when I am faced with a situation that I'm not used to facing, when I'm in a situation that literally just baffles me. You know, it's like, what the heck is happening here, and how in the world do I handle this? And then I call upon my higher power. I say, God, please help me. Give me the thoughts that I need. Give me the direction that I need to get through this situation. And I love the fact that I can call upon my higher power. I love the fact that I have the tools of this program to get me through situations. I love the promises, just like everybody else in this program. We love the promises because it gives us so much hope, gives us so many things to aspire to if we just work the steps. If we just work the program as outlined in the big book, we will have these promises come true. I see the promises come true every single day, that I'm able to keep my mouth shut in situations, that I'm able to say, God, help me. That is when I know the promises are coming true. And I thank my higher power every single day that these promises are coming true, because there are so many things that I want to say. There are so many things that I want to do, so many things that would be so harmful to, especially my husband, but I have to retract. I have to say, baby, it's all you. I have no control over you. I have to practice love every single day. I have to let others voluntarily evolve. And that, dear God, thank you, God, is the promise that's coming true for me, because I have no control over people, places, or things, and I have to remember that every day. And because I can rely on my higher power to remind me of that every single day, I know that I am in the right place. I thank God for this program. I am so grateful for this program. I love this program, and I live this program to the best of my ability every single day. So I just say thank you, God, for the promise coming true for me every single day. Thank you all for being here for me this morning. Thank you for being here every single morning. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to share my thoughts, my experiences, my hopes, and my dreams, and my wish for every single person on this line. May the promises come true for you. Just work the steps. Thank you, and with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Jackie D. from Georgia. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on these two sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences. So who would like to share with us?
This is Rhonda N. from Ohio.
Rhonda N. from Ohio. And who is that other
Claire
one?
E. from the UK.
Claire E., UK.
Susan
Jody
from
E. Was that Susan...
Susan T. from Georgia.
Susan T., Georgia. And I heard Jody E. from California. Who else would like to share? All right, let's go with that lineup. I have Rhonda, and I didn't get your initial, Rhonda, from Ohio.
And as in no. N as in
oh,
no.
Perfect. So Rhonda N, followed by Claire E, then Susan T, and Jody E. So Rhonda, it's your turn to share.
Hi, this is Rhonda. I'm grateful to be here today. This program, I sort of came in backwards. I've always been a person giving service in step 12. I've always done meditation to seek relief. You know, I tried to do the daily cleaning out, but that just didn't always work. It wasn't until I entered the program seriously 9 or 10 years ago when intuition started working for me, but it came slowly. I've always had intuition, but I used it on other people. I was a caregiver, you know, and I was really very intuitive about doing it in both my nursing career and my private practice, where I give psychic readings. However, this intuition on myself needed a whole lot of work, and I just kept getting in messes with food. So my self-esteem was so low because I thought all I was supposed to do was take care of others. I didn't know I was supposed to take care of me. And the program taught me that, and my self-esteem has slowly built enough that I'm getting the guidance for me now, thank God, you know, doing the prayer, starting in the other order. First of all, I'm powerless, you know, on the steps, and surrendering and doing the willing and all of it. So I'm just so grateful. I can hear now. I can hear God's voice for me. I do have to take the time to do the work, you know, and do what the program says. And as long as I do that, it just gets better and better, and more promises are coming true, and my self-esteem's growing. So thank you all so much. And I'm not overeating. With that, I pass.
Ah, thank you, Rhonda N. from Ohio. Now, Claire E., it's your turn, followed by Susan T.
Thank you so much, Dawn, and thank you to everybody doing service. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic in Cornwall, in the UK. Yeah, I love these couple of sentences and, you know, the promises generally. I remember for many years, you know, the promises were read out a lot in meetings. I think it took me quite a long time to put it together that actually the promises come at the end, sort of at step 9. I think I thought they were sort of, I'm not sure what process I really thought it was part of, but I thought they just sort of magically happen. And of course, you know, as I've learned along the way, you know, unfortunately, most of my recovery hasn't magically happened. It's taken some work and some commitment and a lot of mistakes. But, you know, this part here, you know, we will intuitively know how to handle situations. And I really love what a previous speaker was saying about, you know, I'm a very reactive person. I'm a doer. I'm a hustler. I want to get on with it. I react very quickly, very impulsively. And intuition is something I've been vaguely aware of. It's like that sort of, reminds me of the, you know, the sort of Jim vaguely sensing he wasn't being very sensible, you know. That's my experience. You know, I was vaguely sensing that actually this wasn't the right thing to be doing, you know, to be saying yes to people, taking on more stuff, flying off the handle about things, you know, the sort of behaviors I used to do, it wasn't great. And there was the intuition there, but I ignored the intuition because I'd already said I'd do something, or, you know, there was, I couldn't get out of it, or I, you know, didn't want people to be angry with me, or whatever it happened to be. And so much of my recovery has been about pausing to find and listen to my intuition, to go within and to really listen to what my higher power and what my gut are saying to me about a situation. And I think, you know, the previous couple of sentences, fear of people and of economic insecurity, you know, without that fear, I can make better decisions. You know, I'm not so dependent on what other people think or what other people are going to respond. And I can then respond rather than react. And that brings me on to, you know, suddenly realizing that God is doing something for me that I could never do that for myself. I did not have the capacity to pause. I was 0-60. I was gone. And I had, you know, it's making me think as the meeting's been going on of a situation I had last week where my husband did something which I was annoyed about. I was really annoyed about. And previously, if I'd been standing next to him, there would have, actually, you know what, honestly, even now, if I'd been standing next to him, there would have probably been a reaction. Fortunately, God did something for me I couldn't do myself. And he told me, you know, my husband told me about this just before I was about to get in the car and drive home. So I had 25 minutes of pause. And I, you know, was able then to see and feel the anger arising. I was able to stop. I was able to do step 10. I was able to pray. And I was able to come home and intuitively know that when I'm tired and angry, it's not the time to address something. So I parked it and we spoke about it the next day. And that is just so much recovery for me. And that is a miracle because I can't do that for myself. And I think God intervened on that one and gave me that pause. So really love this meeting and I will leave it there. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Claire E. from the UK. Susan T., it's your turn to share, followed by Jody E.
Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Yes, this is Susan P. from Georgia, and grateful to be on the line. I'm a little, I won't say ashamed, but a little abashed when God comes through for me and I'm surprised. And I'd like to share how he helped me with a step 9 issue. I was feeling a lot of anguish in my relationship to my parents, who are both deceased, and I was wondering, how do you make amends to a deceased person? I was a pretty good daughter, but there were a few incidents when I lashed out verbally. And first of all, I realized that it was because of my disease and not because I wanted to hurt them. But the thing that really helped me was I had written a letter that I put in my computer in a file called Estate to My Children, because I didn't, in which I stated that if there's any unfinished business, anything you regret in your relationship with me, know that I forgive you unconditionally because I love you unconditionally. And then it dawned on me, God gave me the thought that if I love my children enough to forgive them, what makes me believe that my parents wouldn't do the same? And that really, really hit me. I also did write a letter to both of them stating very specifically how grateful I was for the things they did for me, and I stated specifically the things that I could think of, and apologizing for the mistakes that I made towards them. And I was able, I live in the same city as the cemetery where they're buried. I was able to go to their gravesite and read it to them. And I felt a lot of relief. I don't know why I get shocked when God comes through for me. I guess my faith is imperfect, like probably the rest of us have imperfect faith. But I was just so grateful for that. And that was, to me, an example of how God gave me an intuitive thought of how to heal. And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Susan G. from Georgia. Jody E., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take another name or two.
It's Susan P., and I just want that to be known in case people want to reach me on the member list. P like in people.
Perfect. So Susan P. is in Paul, Georgia.
Right.
Perfect. Thank you. Jody E., please share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you so much for being our moderator today, and thank you, everyone, for being here. And welcome to the newcomers. We're so glad you're here. You're the most important people in the room. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. And yes, these promises are incredible promises. And they are coming true for me as the result of working these 12 steps. These are the ninth step promises, so I have to work all the way through step 9, or at least halfway, to begin to experience these promises. So just last night, I was at a birthday party dinner with 5 other women, and I was the last one to arrive to the restaurant, and as I was walking in, there's always a little bit of a little bit of anxiety when I come into a social situation. Fear of people has not entirely left me, but it's certainly much, much better. That's been an Achilles heel for me. But anyway, I was surprised at myself last night in that I was comfortable, even though I didn't know all of these women well. I was able to converse and to contribute to the conversation throughout dinner, which has not, again, always been the case. I have been afraid of speaking up, afraid of saying what's on my mind for fear that I'm going to say something stupid or say something that I'm going to regret later. And I just was surprised that I was able to speak freely, and I didn't have a shame attack afterwards. That's another thing that I have a history of, feeling a lot of shame, just for not for necessarily doing anything wrong, just for being myself, just for speaking and letting people see me, letting people in, being vulnerable, being intimate with people. So it's nice to see some progress, right? It's always good to see some progress. And it's good to share that progress, because it is in sharing with each other the progress that we're making that our faith is strengthened in this higher power in whom we are turning over, to whom we are turning over our will and our lives. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody E. Well, we have time for a couple 2-minute shares, if there are a couple people that would like to share for 2 minutes.
Wendy M.
Polly Q.
Wendy M. and Polly Q. Go ahead, Wendy M.
Great. Hi, Dawn. Good morning. It's Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovered. Probably my favorite 2 sentences. I say it about everything, but yeah, this is so good. Intuitively know. So I always say, I don't know that I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. And this is how I experience God, right? One is the intuition. Like I already know that before I call my mom, it's probably not a good idea to call her then. I know it's a small thing, but it's kind of a big deal. That knowing, you know, and somebody said earlier, we just practice this. And as we practice it, we hear God so much clearer. And then we hear God even more clear, right? And that's that intuitive knowing, that pause, that, oh, yeah, that wouldn't be a good idea. Oh, that might be a good idea. Yeah. So there's the intuition that is, and it's, you know what it does? It gives us freedom. It gives me God, and it gives me freedom. And that's probably the best feeling in the world, is to be free from that cluttered brain, that thinking that has been running the show. And then finally, like last night, God's doing for us, right? So I asked this guy on the date, I said, so are you into me? Are we going to be dating each other? And he said, no. And, you know, in that moment, the intuition is, you know, okay, something's off. And then God, then I turned to God and I said, thank you. Because God does for me what I cannot do for myself. God will say no to a gentleman who I shouldn't be dating so clearly. You know, God's protection, whatever it is, rejection is God's protection. But God, and but here's the miracle, is that we're realizing it now, right? We're feeling the intuition. We're realizing that in this moment, God is giving me the greatest gift possible, even though I might be feeling not so great. I think that's my time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Polly Q., it's your turn to share, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, moderator. Thank you for your service. This is Polly Q. in Northern California, recovered. And I've been, I mean, who doesn't love the promises? You know, and this particular promise is really pertinent this morning because I love to hike, and I hike alone. And I hike in different hikes. And so I woke up today and I thought, oh, well, you know, I thought, what one will I hike? And I thought, I know, I'll just go to the top one here that I've saved. And I hike in places that I've never hiked before. And so I looked at it and I thought, oh, this must be the one. This is it. I intuitively know, right? It's God. He actually took me right to it. And then I went around my business. I was feeling really confident about it. And then I looked outside and it's rained. This is the big hike. I've never done it before. I know it's going to be in a place where if it rained, it's going to put some more challenging conditions on the trail. So now I'm in a quandary, right? Because I think, oh, well, maybe which one's right? Which one is God? Which one isn't God? And I realized while I was listening to everybody share is that I don't have to know. I don't have to know. I can trust that I will do, if I'm working the steps every day, that I will do what I can do today. And it's okay. I will do what I can do today, and it's all right. It is not my job to try to figure out what God wants me to do. The things I have to do is I got to remain abstinent. I got to work these steps. I got to live in them. I got to do a step 10. I got to call people, connect. I got to share. And after that, I'm going to do the one thing I know my higher power wants me to do. Trust. Trust that no matter what, it'll be all right. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Polly Q. from California, and everyone who shared. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Luann C. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn, for taking the meeting today. My name is Luann C. I'm recovered and on my feet in Boise, Idaho today. Thank you, God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.